Manuscript Releases, Volume 7, Mr. Number 438. 3. G. White Messages Relating to the Work in New York. I am deeply interested in the work to be advanced in many places. Especially am I interested in the progress of the cause in Greater New York. In the night season it seemed as if I were speaking to our brethren and sisters in Greater New York. I was carrying a heavy burden on my heart. I shall not attempt to describe the expressions that I saw on the countenances of those in the congregation, for they were varied. Before me were some who have much tact and superior ability to reach souls, men and women, who, if consecrated, could awaken many who are careless, indifferent, godless. But these church members had lost their hold on the Lord Jesus. They desired to command, not to serve. While I was speaking, one of authority came forward and repeated the following scriptures. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised winky face, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. The heavenly messenger continued speaking. He said, Christ gave himself for you, and is now standing in the presence of God as your high priest. Not only through him may you enter the true tabernacle not made with hands, but with him you may enter this hallowed temple. He is your head, and you are his beloved household. Have you forgotten the scenes of Gethsemane? Christ passed through his last terrible trial in order that you might not perish, but have eternal life. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. By your failure to work in harmony, you are greatly dishonoring God. The enemy of your souls delights to see you working at cross purposes with one another. You need to cultivate brotherly love and tenderness of heart. If you could draw aside the curtain veiling the future, and see the result of your present course of action, you would surely be led to repent. By repentance you can save yourselves much sorrow. Would it not be well for you to seek the Lord as the disciples sought him before the day of Pentecost? After Christ's ascension, his disciples, men of varied talents and capabilities, assembled in an upper chamber to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit. In this room all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. They made thorough work of repentance by confessing their own sins. Upon them was laid no burden to confess one another's sins. Settling all differences and alienations, they were of one accord, and prayed with unity of purpose for 10 days, at the end of which time they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit cannot be revealed to the church members in Greater New York while dissension and strife exist. Would it not be well for you to lay aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, and as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby? If you would unitedly put away your peculiar hereditary and cultivated traits of character, and work together, the Lord could work through you. But souls will not be convicted and converted until you come into unity and Christian fellowship. Lose sight of self. Keep your eyes fixed on the Redeemer. The representation that you make before believers and unbelievers is one of variance and strife. Clear away this rubbish. Pressed together. Let not the workers think of going elsewhere before a thorough work of humiliation and repentance takes place. Work as for your lives to overcome every evil trait of character. You are not placed in this field of labor to create dissension and alienation. Sweep away the evils that have crept in. Consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. The Lord designs that all his children shall blend in unity. Do you not expect to live together in unity in the same heaven? Is Christ divided against himself? Will he give success in this field before all the rubbish of evil surmising and discord is swept away? Before the laborers, with unity of purpose, devote heart, soul, mind, and strength to the work so holy in God's sight? As he which hath called you is holy, So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. In Christ's prayer for his disciples he petitioned his Father, Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Who is being sanctified through the truth? Neither pray I for these alone, he continued, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. The prayer of Christ is not yet answered. There is a work to be done that still remains undone. Although proclaiming the gospel message, yet ministers and lay members are envious, full of strife, destitute of the love that should be in their hearts. Those who claim to be Christians but who reveal the characteristics of worldlings are dishonoring the name of Jesus. Will you consider the representation that you are making before unbelievers? Will you seek for the blessing of the Holy Spirit, that you may answer the prayer of Christ? Would it not be well for you to pray that you shall not disappoint the Lord Jesus by failing to be his instrumentalities? When in word and deed you answer his prayer, putting away all variance, his Spirit will bear witness that you are his instrumentalities, and the world will take knowledge of you, that you have been with Jesus and have learned of him. The Lord calls upon those now working in Greater New York to repent and be converted. Both ministers and lay members are standing in their own light, and are wasting many precious opportunities. There is great need of coming together with deep humiliation and sincere repentance because of the lack of unity and brotherly love that has been manifested. In the Word, Christians are instructed not to neglect the assembling of themselves together. If need be, come together with fasting. Make most diligent search for the cause of your soul sickness, which must be healed. Until in every sense of the word you are Christians in your associations with one another, until you love as brethren, how can your efforts for unbelievers be acceptable to God? Your first work is to be converted yourselves. The heavenly messenger spoke other words, but I think it best not to present them before you, for in your present spiritual condition you cannot bear them. Those who are of the household of faith should never neglect the assembling of themselves together, for this is God's appointed means of leading his children into unity, in order that in Christian love and fellowship they may help, strengthen, and encourage one another. My brethren and sisters in Greater New York, if you would come together for prayer meetings, if, after confession of sin and humiliation of soul, you would have a love feast, every heart filled with true love for his brethren, you would see the salvation of God. As brethren of our Lord, we are called with a holy calling to a holy, happy life. Having entered the narrow path of obedience, let us refresh our minds by communion with one another and with God. As we see the day of God approaching, let us meet often to study his word and to exhort one another to be faithful unto the end. These earthly assemblies are God's appointed means by which we have opportunity to speak with one another and to gather all the help possible to prepare, in the right way, to receive in the heavenly assemblies the fulfillment of the pledges of our inheritance. Remember that in every assembly you meet with Christ, the Master of Assemblies. Encourage a personal interest in one another, for it is not enough simply to know men. We must know men in Christ Jesus. We are enjoined to consider one another. This is the keynote of the gospel. The keynote of the world is self. Christ declares to his disciples, Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Christians are to reveal to the world that they are wearing the yoke of the great teacher, and learning of him his meekness and lowliness. As obedient sons and daughters of God, they are to fulfill their obligations to him, giving to the world a proper representation of his character. Thus they become lights in the world. The Christian pilgrim is not left to walk in darkness. Jesus leads the way. Those who follow him walk in the sunshine of his presence. The path that the pilgrim treads is clear and well defined. Christ's righteousness goes before him, the righteousness that makes possible the good works characterizing the life of every true Christian. God is his rearward. He walks in the light as Christ is in the light. As he travels onward in the Christian journey, he combines faith with earnest endeavor to win others to accompany him. Constantly receiving the light of Christ's presence, he reflects this light to others in words of encouragement and deeds of self-denial. He bears the sign of obedience to God's law, which distinguishes him from those who are not following the pathway that leads to life eternal. The Christian pilgrim cannot be sour, gloomy, depressed. It is a misrepresentation of the Christian faith to be surly, unreasonable, or sour in spirit. My brethren and sisters, no longer cherish such a spirit. Heed the apostles' admonition to provoke one another unto love and good works. How can you do this? By conscientious, consistent behavior. Occasionally pause to sum up the results of such a course, to ascertain whether it is the wisest course to pursue. You will find that careful regard for one another's needs, kindly words of sympathy, and thoughtful assistance in helping others in their work, encourages not only them, but yourselves as well, because you thus become laborers together with God. Brethren and sisters, will you realize that there is much at stake? Will you conduct the work in so healthful and wholesome a manner that all the threads now tangled and knotted will be straightened out? Study the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Forget not to. Consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. If all the church members in Greater New York will now draw nigh to God, those who are in serious perplexity because of their self-confidence will confess that they have manifested a fitful, hasty spirit, and will turn to Christ, placing their confidence in Him. Realizing their own weakness, they will wear Christ's yoke and learn of Him. Receiving His strength, they will become the sons of God. Every Christian is under obligation to act well his part. For every worker now in Greater New York, there should be 100 workers. Many more of the lay members, if consecrated to God's service, could use their abilities in giving the warning message of mercy to the multitudes of unbelievers in this field. Those who are working in this city should be a help, a strength, and a blessing to one another. Each laborer should encourage his fellow laborer to work to the utmost of his God-given ability. Never should one laborer weaken the hands of another whom God has appointed to work for him. Satan discourages, God encourages. Unconsciously, every true worker will say, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? And am I not working at the close of the day? I must walk in the light as one of the children of light. I must lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset, and run with patience the race that is set before me. I am striving for a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Walk in the light. To walk in the light means to resolve, to exercise thought, to exert willpower, in an earnest endeavor to represent Christ in sweetness of character. It means to put away all gloom. You are not to rest satisfied simply in saying, "I am a child of God." Are you beholding Jesus, and by beholding, becoming changed into His likeness? To walk in the light means advancement and progress and spiritual attainments. Paul declared, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but forgetting those things which are behind, constantly beholding the pattern I reach, forth unto those things which are before." To walk in the light means to walk uprightly, to walk in the way of the Lord, to walk by faith, to walk in the Spirit, to walk in the truth, to walk in love, to walk in newness of life. It is perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What a terrible thing it is to darken the pathway of others by bringing shadow and gloom upon ourselves. Let each one take heed to himself. Charge not upon others your defections of character. My brethren in the gospel ministry, talk light, walk in the light. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Study not how to please self. Lose sight of self, and behold the multitudes in Greater New York who are perishing in their sins. Gather to your souls the courage that can come only from the light of the world. Forgetting self, help the many who are within reach around you. Do not overwork, for you must keep the vital energies awake. Realize that a work of restoration in your behalf will glorify God. Determine that whatever others may do, you will appropriate God's promises to yourselves, weaving them into the fabric of your daily experience. Talk faith, and your faith will increase. Cease lamenting. Work in Christ's lines. With loving endeavor strive to please Him. His excellence will help you to be Christ-like. Ever stand ready to lift up the hands that hang down and to strengthen the feeble knees. Shine as lights in the world, attracting others by the brightness of Christ's glory revealed through your good works. Let the members of the churches in Greater New York hold fast their profession of the faith once delivered to the saints. As you walk in the light, pray, simply trusting in Jesus, your Redeemer. He desires every one having faith in Him to be a true helper. A new commandment I give unto you, he says, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. I address this letter to the several churches and companies of believers in Greater New York. God help you to walk in the light. Walk so that your life will reflect rays of light to others. If you work as God designs you should, many of such as shall be saved will be added to your numbers. Confide in the love of Jesus, and you will have grace to save perishing souls. Your path will be as the path of the just, a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You have asked me some questions regarding your work that I cannot answer, for the Lord has not instructed me specifically regarding your relation to the sanitarium under present conditions. This matter should be decided by the brethren who understand the situation, brethren who are on the ground, and who have been appointed to deal with such matters. But there are some things regarding which I have received instruction. The Lord is calling for our cities to be worked just as verily as He is calling for work in foreign countries. The Lord has approved of your labors in connection with Brother and Sister Starr in New York City, and I cannot feel that it would be wise, even if you were to leave that work, that Elder Starr should also be taken away. If you should not connect with Elder Starr as you did last summer, we should endeavor to find someone else to connect with him as you have done. Light was given me that Elder Starr had a work to do as an evangelist in city work, and that there should be connected with him and his wife, another man and wife, that these two families would, if they made the Lord Jesus their counselor, accomplish a good work. This was before you went to New York City to labor with Brother and Sister Starr. When I heard of the move you had made, I was well pleased, for I felt that they and you would strengthen each other's hands. Elder Starr as an evangelist, and Dr. Kress as a physician connected with the sanitarium at Washington, working in harmony with each other, have done a good work in New York City, and there have been favorable results. If others have been found who can in your absence carry the medical work at the sanitarium, I believe it would be pleasing to the Lord for you to continue to labor with Brother and Sister Starr or some other evangelist in some of our large cities. It may be necessary for you at times to be called to the sanitarium as a counselor, but in your absence, others must necessarily take largely the burden of the work there. I am certain that Elder Starr and his wife are needed in the field, and that his work can be strengthened if you and your wife will stand with him as physicians. Christ declared, "I and my Father are one." All the workers in our sanitariums should seek to labor in a similar unity with their brethren. This should be true of the physicians who stand in responsible positions. They should exercise a God-given tact to show that in dealing with the sick and the suffering, they are carrying on the very same work as are their brethren who are laboring in the ministry of the Word. Christ has given us an example. He taught from the Scriptures the gospel truths, and He also healed the afflicted ones who came to Him for relief. He was the greatest physician the world ever knew, and yet He combined with His healing work the imparting of soul-saving truth. And thus should our physicians labor. They are doing the Lord's work when they labor as evangelists, giving instruction as to how the soul may be healed by the Lord Jesus. Every physician should know how to pray in faith for the sick, as well as to administer the proper treatment. At the same time, he should labor as one of God's ministers, to teach repentance and conversion, and the salvation of soul and body. Such a combination of labor will broaden his experience, and greatly enlarge his influence. The physician should reveal the higher education, in his ability to point to the Savior of the world as one who can heal and save the soul and the body. This gives the afflicted an encouragement that is of the highest value. The ministry to the physical and the spiritual are to blend, leading the afflicted ones to trust in the power of the heavenly physician. Those who, while giving the proper treatments, will also pray for the healing grace of Christ, will inspire faith in the minds of the patients. Their own course will be an inspiration to those who supposed their cases to be hopeless. This is why our sanitariums were established, to give courage to the hopeless by uniting the prayer of faith with proper treatment and instruction in physical and spiritual right living. Through such ministrations, many are to be converted. The physicians in our sanitariums are to give the clear gospel message of soul healing. Our sanitariums and our churches may reach a higher, holier standard. Health reform is to be taught and practiced by our people. The Lord is calling for a revival of the principles of health reform. Seventh-day Adventists have a special work to do as messengers to labor for the souls and bodies of men. Christ has said of his people, "Ye are the light of the world." We are the Lord's denominated people, to proclaim the truths of heavenly origin. The most solemn, sacred work ever given to mortals is the proclamation of the first, second, and third angels' messages to our world. In our large cities there should be health institutes to care for the sick, and to teach the grand principles of health reform. Unless a special conversion is experienced by many, we shall not see all that we might see in the healing of the sick, both bodily and spiritually. We need daily the converting power of Jesus Christ, that we may serve God intelligently, and under the sanctifying grace of the Savior. Now, my brother and sister Cress, regarding the responsibilities each one should carry, I cannot mark a definite line. I cannot specify the precise degree of authority that your position entitles you to. But let each cherish the Spirit and practice the meekness of Jesus Christ. When we shall exalt him as the chiefest among 10,000, and the one altogether lovely, then there will be no difficulty in determining who shall bear the responsibility of the work in the field and in all our institutions. One thing I know, the greatest work for our physicians is to get access to the people of the world in the right way. There is a world perishing in sin, and who will take up the work in our cities? The greatest physician is the one who walks in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. There is a work to be done in all our cities, and those who will work and walk humbly with God, striving daily to be overcomers, will gain precious victories day by day. The work that is done in humility will bear the divine credentials. Let us hide in God. That which I see most clearly is the necessity of men and women being united in doing the work that needs to be done in our cities. Unless this work is entered into most earnestly, Christ cannot say of many, "Ye are the light of the world." Instead, the sentence will be given, "Thou art weighed in the balances, and art found wanting." This great work has only been touched, and soon it will be too late. Satan is working with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Self has come in, and has been a great hindering power to the work that should have been done. Of those who are formed in his image, Christ requires conformity to his character. Mothers, fathers, ministers, physicians, hear the word of the Lord. If his children forsake my law, and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes, and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod, and their iniquity with stripes. The Lord bears long with men, and he calls earnestly for everyone to repent. Will the ministers, will the physicians take up this work that has been scarcely touched? May God help us to be faithful, and to do the very work that is now most essential. I have just read your letter and the one to Brother and Sister Cress. I am glad to hear from you, and to learn of your work. I will send you a copy of a letter I have written to Dr. Cress, from which you will see that I am in full harmony with the plan of his uniting with you in work in the cities. Our duty to work in the cities has been kept before me for years. If the Lord be served truly and intelligently, there will be a humble and devotional frame of mind. Our people need to heed the cautions that the Lord has given over and over again. I trust that you will not be diverted from the grand work that needs to be done to enlighten the people. You are to learn from Christ how to reach the great number of people in our cities, who know not the truth for this time. Let your words be of a character to exalt the word of God. Live and teach the principles of health reform. Emphasize your belief in the great truths upon which Christian people generally will agree with you. As you advocate the truth of God, you are in every respect to be an example to the believers. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Try to follow closely the Lord's plans. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The importance of making our way in the great cities is still kept before me. For many years the Lord has been urging upon us this duty, and yet we see but comparatively little accomplished in our great centers of population. If we do not take up this work in a determined manner, Satan will multiply difficulties which will not be easy to surmount. We are far behind in doing the work that should have been done in these long neglected cities. The work will now be more difficult than it would have been a few years ago. But if we take up the work in the name of the Lord, barriers will be broken down, and decided victories will be ours. In this work, physicians and gospel ministers are needed. We must press our petitions to the Lord, and do our best, pressing forward with all the energy possible to make an opening in the large cities. Had we in the past worked after the Lord's plans, many lights would be shining brightly that are going out. In connection with the presentation of spiritual truths, we should also present what the Word of God says upon the questions of health and temperance. In every way possible, we must seek to bring souls under the convicting and converting power of God. The believers in our churches need to be aroused to act their part. Let seasons of prayer be appointed, and let us earnestly seek the Lord for an increase of faith and courage. Let ministers and other church members labor for souls as never before. We are not to spend our time merely in repeating over and over again the same things to the churches where the truth is well known. Let the church members labor unitedly in their several lines to create an interest. The disciples of Christ are to unite and labor for perishing souls. Let the laborers invite others to unite with them in their efforts, that many may be fired with zeal to work for the Master. I entreat of the church members in every city that they lay hold upon the Lord with determined effort for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Be assured that Satan is not asleep. Every obstacle possible he will place in the way of those who would advance in this work. Too often these obstacles are regarded as insurmountable. Let everyone now be soundly and truly converted, and then lay hold of the work intelligently and with faith.